What's up, guys? If you have been feeling anxious or afraid, this message is for you. We are talking about having faith through your storm.
Are we awake this morning? Okay, good. I'm glad to be here with you guys. If y'all don't know me, my name is Cole Cornelius, and I have the honor and privilege as serving as a community pastor at our Rodfield campus. Shout out to you guys. I hope you are on your best behavior while I'm away. But I am glad to be with our entire church family, Padre Island, Rockport, Broadcast, Rodfield, Stone Oak, and every single campus in between Portland. I did not forget you guys. So thank y'all for having me. We're going to have some fun this morning. But before we do so, I need to win you guys over. So I'm going to bring my baby on stage. Here we go. This is Baby Dove. Is it working? Okay. Now she apparently just got off the Mayflower with this outfit. Isn't she cute? Aw. I just want her to preach today. Let's see that. There we go. Thank you, guys. Well, again, it is an honor to be here. And before we get started, I want to just take a moment and honor our senior pastors, Pastor Bill and Jessica Cornelius. Their fruitfulness and their faithfulness has just been incredible. They came to plant this church years and several years ago. They're getting up there, right? But man, has that fruit just been abundant, and they have been such a blessing to this community. Amen. And so let's honor them one more time. So, church, I remember whenever I was a child growing up, all through elementary school, I used to go over to my friend Bradley's house. Now, Bradley is my best friend growing up, my entire life. I would go over to his house every single Friday night. And his house was the place to be. He would invite all the guys over every single Friday. No girls invited because they have cooties. We have to keep this a safe, quarantined environment. And so he would have us over, and we would all have the best time you could imagine. I mean, I remember we would swim all day. We'd be playing Marco Polo. My eyes were like bloodshot red because I was just cheating the whole time under the water. And then we would go inside and we'd play video games all night long. And we would try not to wake up. Their parents were like being really quiet. And they would come in and be like, hey, are you guys asleep? You know, that was the whole deal. And then we'd wake up the next morning and we would wake up. It was like a cartoon. I'm not kidding. The smell of these pancakes would literally wake us up, right? And I'm like, man, I still have dreams about them to this day. What I'm trying to say here is that Bradley's house was the spot every single Friday night. And I remember one fateful Friday morning, the worst day of my entire life. My mother in the carpool line turns backwards as she's dropping me off for school and says, hey, I know you're planning on going to Bradley's house today, and that's fine, but unfortunately, you're just not able to spend the night there anymore. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Why? And she's like, I just been watching a lot of news recently, and I know the world's a crazy place, so we're just going to be a little more protective, okay? And I'm really young at this. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I slammed the door or whatever, going to school. I kind of forget about it. And then I end up at Bradley's house later that afternoon. And we have a great time. We're swimming, having fun. And finally, my mom has to come pick me up. And so what happens is she gets there. She's honking for me to come out. I walk out, and Bradley catches me on the way out. And he's like, dude, where are you going? I thought you were staying the night tonight. And I didn't really know that I had to be PR trained for this moment, okay? So I didn't really have a filter. I was like, well, honesty is the best policy, right? So I tell him, like, look, man, just between me and you, my parents don't really trust your parents. And Bradley's like, what are you talking about? My parents wouldn't do anything like that. And I said, I know, that's what I told them. And then they said, that's what they all say. And so clearly I was not invited back after that encounter ever again. And that's why it was the worst day of my life. But isn't it crazy how fear can impact our decisions in our relationship so much in our lives, amen? And that's what we're talking about this week as we are in a series called Bigger Than You. I'm super, super excited to jump in here. We have two passages. If you have your Bibles with us today, we are going to be in Mark 4:35 first, and then we're going to go into Matthew later on. Now, these two stories are very, very similar. And as I was preparing to speak to you guys this Sunday, I kind of found myself getting them confused with one another, to be fully transparent with you. And so I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's something about these stories that have these similarities and differences that we can unpack. And thank God that he revealed those to me, which is what we're going to be doing this morning. Are we ready to go? Okay, can y'all say, I'm with you? All right, here we go. So we're going to be in Mark 4, 35 for some context here. This is the early stage of Jesus's ministry. So in this period of time, he's teaching, he's healing, but he's just getting started. They just had a period in which they were doing a hard day's work. He teached, he healed, and now they're ready to go to the other side of the sea. So that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So in the situation, they all hop in the boat, and they go over to the other side. So they come up against a squall. A squall, okay? A squall is essentially a storm that just happens to develop very, very rapidly. It's not the typical storm that takes a bit to develop. It's pretty much just a storm that happens to develop very quickly. So they're in the storm, right? And we can go there a little bit. There's waves that are crashing against the boat, and the winds are rapid and whistling in their ears, and there's thunder, and it's cloudy, and it's gloomy, and it's chaotic, and I'm sure the disciples are in the boat, in the squall, in the storm, and as the waves are hitting the boat, it says that it begins to swamp the floor of the boat, and their socks are all, well, they don't even have socks, their feet are all wet, and they're getting their buckets, and they're trying to like throw the water out of the bucket. I'm sorry, they throw the water out of the boat, and then, you know, their hands are cramping and red because they're trying to hold on to the sail, and they're trying to pull the oars to the best of their ability, and it's chaotic, and everyone's going insane, and look what it says Jesus is doing here. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Say it, don't spray it. Cole, thank you. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So you're telling me this is going on. There's chaos, complete and utter chaos. The boat is literally going under, and Jesus is knocked out in the back of the stern. I don't know if he had a Tempur-Pedic mattress back there. I don't know what's going on. How are you even sleeping through this? And so the disciples come to him, and they say, Jesus, we're going to die. And here's what it says. He gets up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. So imagine the disciples once again. This guy just got up after his nap, tells the wind to be quiet, the waves to stand still, and they do. And the disciples here are dropping their buckets, finally letting go of this rope. The waves are starting to begin to even out and they're not rocking back and forth anymore. And they're just looking at each other like, did he just do that? Their jaws just wide open looking at this guy. I mean, we've seen some crazy things, but he just told the wind and the waves to be quiet, and that's exactly what happened. And it says here that they all turned to each other and said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." But here was what I find interesting about this passage. He says to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, just before they said, "Who is this? The wind and waves obey him." He says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, if I'm a disciple in this situation, I'm going to be a little bit confused. I mean, if I'm in the middle of a storm and I have the Messiah on the boat with me, I'd probably wake him up too and be like, "Hey, there's a storm. Can we have some help here? We're going to drown. We're going to die. This isn't going very well." So why is Jesus not pleased with their response? Why is he not pleased with the fact that they had woken him up to overcome the storm that they were in? Like, why is Jesus upset here? He says, "Do you still have no faith?" And I believe it's because Jesus is curious why they're fearful of the wind and the waves in which he established, that he created, that he has authority over. Why am I needing to calm a storm when there's no need to fear the storm? Why am I needing to calm this storm when there's no need to fear it? And I wonder if that is where we find ourselves in our lives today, when things look difficult, when things make us fearful, whenever we're like, man, the whole world seems to be crashing down around us. My situation is just not getting better. I thought I'd been through this before. Everything is not the way it needs to be. And we're saying, God, please settle this storm. And we call upon his name for peace and he gives it to us. But he's still wondering, why do we have no faith? It's because the waves and the winds are not meant to be feared. And sometimes we need to remember in our lives, no matter how the storm looks or how scary the waves are or how gloomy and dark our situation is, we have to remember who's in the back of our boat. There's no need to fear. You see, our peace, if you're taking notes today, our peace isn't coming from our position. Our peace is coming from God's presence. Amen? So if you're taking notes today, that's our first point that we have, saying that my peace does not come from my position. It comes from God's presence. And it tells us this in John 16:33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So here, he literally tells us that we will have troubles. We will have storms. We will go through hardship, but to take heart because he has overcome the world. And so I want to propose something today, church, that when he's calling us to have faith, that doesn't mean that our circumstance needs to be bright and sunny and incredible in order to do that. You see, having courage, having faith doesn't mean that there's nothing to fear. It just means that I trust God's presence more than I trust the fact that these winds will overcome me. And so next time we're fearful, we must take that into consideration. We're not walking by our sight. We are walking by faith. Amen. So that's what we're doing here in this scripture. And what I believe is evident in this text is that what they feared revealed what they trusted. When they feared the storm, it reveals the fact that they do not have the proper faith and trust in Christ to get him through this. And so I'm proposing this to you today. So here's what I'm curious about as we go into this next passage. This is Mark 4. We're about to go into Matthew 14. But it's important and crucial to remember this fact as we're going in. So the disciples were saved, but once again, Jesus is not pleased. Which again, wouldn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm in a storm. I call upon Jesus' name. I'm not sure what's so wrong about that, right? So let's take you to Matthew 14 now. If you have your Bibles with you, we're in Matthew 14, 22 through 32. Y'all with me? Yes. Say, I'm with you. All right, here we go. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. So the pre-context here, about 6 to 9 months, 6 to 9 months had passed between these two storms. So in Mark, they go through the storm, they're saved, and then Jesus continues to do miracles and heal and teach, and then later down the road, they find themselves in a storm once again. Another situation, they just had a hard day's work, and now they're going to move locations once again and go to the other side. So immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Again, this is telling us the winds are against the boat, meaning they're finding themselves in a storm once again. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them. And you're going to read this next part correctly. Walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now, this is where Peter kind of loses his mind a little bit. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and says, you of little faith. Notice it says little and not no. He said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So we have a similar story here, right? I mean, it kind of sounds a lot like Mark, if y'all track with me a little bit. I mean, they're both in a storm. The disciples once again find themselves in a boat, and Jesus at the end of the story brings peace. He calms the storm and everything's okay, right? I mean, has anybody read the Bible front to back? It's pretty long, right? I mean, the Bible is already a long read, so why is there two stories that have essentially the same situation, the same outcome, and almost the same message? Like, why? We get it, right? We're noticing this pattern. We notice the message here as we're reading it. And I think on a surface level, we see repetition. But when we look deeper into the text, remembering that this is the second storm here, I think that we can look deeper and see a beautiful picture of the progression of the disciples' faith here. And I'm going to walk you through that here in a bit through Peter's perspective. So what's different about the story? You see, the first time, Jesus is in the boat. The second time, Jesus is not in the boat. He's in the storm, correct? So Peter and all the disciples once again find themselves in this situation where they're in the boat, right? This is the boat, this line here. They're in here, and Peter, let's put ourselves in his shoes now, sees through this haze and this fog and this smoke. And, you know, he's terrified. Once again, you're in the storm situation where everything's going terribly, and you see in the distance this silhouette of a figure. And you're saying, okay, I'm in a storm. Someone's walking on water here. I don't really know what's going on. What in the world makes Peter think, saying, hey, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you? I'm sure the other disciples are like, hey, Peter, I don't know if you know this or not, but even if that is Jesus, then yeah, okay, he can walk on water. I don't think you can walk on water. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but maybe I'm just not slow like Peter was. I wouldn't think that I can walk on water. And so Peter's here, and he's thinking, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you in water. And so I'm preparing for this message. I'm preparing for the sermon, and I'm looking through the text thinking, what on earth could make Peter propose this situation? I mean, when we hear the story, most of the time, we kind of skip over that part. We're going straight to, oh, Jesus called him out upon the water. And so it makes sense if Peter did this out of obedience because God called him. But Peter is actually the one who proposed this situation. And so in Peter's mind, you have to think through where he is. And I believe that Peter, with the word still ringing in the back of his head from the last time that they were in the storm, saying, why do you still have no faith? I think something's beginning to click for Peter here. I think he's having this light bulb moment that the man in front of me, Jesus, is not only the creator, but he's a storyteller. There's nothing outside of his power. There's nothing outside of his knowledge. If Jesus wanted to snap his fingers and be in the boat, he'd be in the boat. So why is Jesus in the storm? And I'm thinking to myself, how simple could this be? I mean, could it be this angle? Could he have done it for this reason? And God just stopped me dead in my tracks saying, could it be this simple why Peter stepped out of the boat? Could it be that God is over there and Peter's over here? Maybe he's on the edge of the boat, and as these things are clicking for him, he's realizing if Jesus wanted to be in the boat, he'd be in the boat. And I'm going to remember from the last time that there's nothing to fear when he settled my storm for me. And look at this. Jesus is now walking on what they were worried about. This is a message. And Peter is beginning to pick this up. Things are clicking for him. And the other disciples are just thinking, what is going on in this guy's head? And so as Peter is kind of dipping his toe in the water here, seeing if there's any sort of footing, and he's looking right at Jesus, and he's taking a step of faith, and he's stepping out of the boat. You see, I think there was something in Peter here that we ought to have as a church today. I think there was something inside of Peter that decided, I want to show Jesus that I have the faith that he needs to do a miracle. I think something was clicking in his head that if the Lord is in the storm that I'm fearing, then he will sustain me. And here's what's brilliant. I think Peter trusted the one who made the winds and the waves more than he trusted the one who made the boat. I think he knew that God's calling me to a life of abundance, to a life of spontaneity, to a life of adventure, to a life of pursuing Jesus with everything I have. And he's starting to understand that there's more to life than this boat. How long will what I'm thinking is my safety be my prison? How long am I going to stay in my own understanding and not step into what God has for me? Peter is beginning to understand that the storm is not meant to be calmed. The storm is meant to be conquered. And when what God did for you years ago, weeks ago, months ago, when he brought you through that storm the first time and calmed it and gave you peace, when he did that for you, oh, I'm going somewhere, church. I'm telling you, Peter understands, I've been in this storm before. I've seen this situation before. Catch this, I promise you. I've been in this storm before. God, you came through for me. You did it for me, but God, can you do it through me now? Because I'm taking a step of faith. I want to be active in your will. I want to be active in your plan. I want more for my life. I'm going to take the risk. And I'm preaching to somebody today who's been on the fence, who's been on the edge of the boat and saying, God, I will come through. I promise you, if you have a little faith, you can be a water walker and not a boat dweller. You see, fear asks, but faith acts. If you're taking notes today, that's your second point. Fear asks and faith acts. We're going somewhere here. I want to propose another question. Imagine Peter, instead of responding the way that he did in faithfulness, didn't step out. Imagine Peter in this story finds himself in a storm once again, and he sees Jesus, and he doesn't propose, Lord, tell me to come to you. Let's say he proposes the same thing they proposed last time. He's still not getting it about the storm situation and about the fear and about the faith. And he says, Lord, why am I still in this storm? I thought you took me out of the storm. You called me out of this world. You're supposed to be my peace. You're supposed to be my presence. Why am I still in this storm? And I'm preaching to somebody today who's feeling the exact same way. You might be thinking, Lord, I thought I went through the rough patch in my marriage already. Lord, I thought I overcame this diagnosis already. Lord, I thought my child came back home and our family was restored. And Lord, I've been waiting. It's been years. I've been waiting on this child. I've been waiting on this promotion. I've been doing everything I can. Why am I still in this storm? And imagine Peter's here and he's thinking along that same track and he's proposing to Jesus, Lord, why am I still in a storm after everything I've done to you, for you, everything I've been faithful through? Why am I still finding myself in the storm? And imagine how Jesus would be thinking, and I'm going somewhere with this, I promise you. Imagine Jesus thinking, Peter, if I calm this storm, you do not want that, and here's why. Where's Peter? Peter's in a storm. Peter is in a storm. Where else is Peter, though? Where else is Peter that he can't see? Peter's in a story. Peter is in a story. Do you think Peter knew that that faithful step would go on to encourage, inspire, bring people to the faith, be a part of the legacy of the kingdom of heaven? Do you think he knew? And here's what I want to propose. I think that all hinged on his response of faithfulness, because why would we need two of the same stories if it played out the same way it did in Mark? Whenever they ask God to help them and he does, it wouldn't have been in the word of God. Sometimes I think in our lives, we're asking the Lord to calm our storm. He's trying to tell you, don't ask me to take your storm. If you ask me to take your storm, you're asking me to take your story. The storm is where you're called to impact. The storm is how you're going to be remembered. I am writing your story as we speak. And I want to go into this scripture here. Mark 6, 5 through 6 says this. This is in context here of whenever Jesus returned to his hometown and he wanted to go and do miracles here. And he returns there. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. This scripture tells us if we do not have faith, God cannot do miracles in our lives. And so here's what I want to propose to you. You're in the storm. God has written your story up to this point, full of triumph, full of victory, full of ups and downs, full of hardship, full of heartbreak. He has written this life of adventure up to this point, and you're in the climax, you're in the conclusion, and everything is hinging on if you will step out or not, if you will get it right or not. And you may come to this point and think God's like, oh, you're doing so well. I know it looks rough right now. I know it looks stormy right now. But I promise you, if you step out, I have a happy ending for you. And imagine he's writing. And he goes to dip his pen in the ink. And as he's doing so, he's just about to get started. And he's thinking, no. What? I need you to step. I need you to step. I can't finish the story unless you step. You see, the faith in our lives is the ink in God's story. If we don't provide God the faith in our lives, He can't finish that chapter for us. He can't write the happy ending that we need. We will never see on the other side of what our faithfulness looks like unless we can tell God, Lord, I know I'm in a storm right now. I know you're writing. I trust you. It looks terrible. It's painful. It's horrible. I've been through this before. I've been through cancer before. I've been through divorce before. I've been through addiction before. Nothing seems to be working. But God, even if it looks cloudy and it looks gray, I trust that you've written my story with a happy ending, one where I succeed, one where I flourish, one where I do get the man or woman of my dreams, one where I do have the child, one where I do get the promotion, one where I do step out in faith and start that business, one where I do take that step and honor you, and I believe and trust that the King of Kings will come through for me. Are y'all excited in the house of God or not? I'm preaching to somebody, and maybe a few. And maybe a few. That's okay. I want to propose something here. Can you imagine the heartbreak? Can you imagine the gut-wrenching feeling of being in this boat and watching somebody else walk on water? I think we should be more afraid of our boat than our storm. You want to go through your entire life hesitating, not taking this leap towards what God has for you. Do you want to take your entire life sitting there watching somebody else walk on water? God doesn't want to just do it for you. He wants to do it through you so we can be active participants of what God has in our lives. You can be a part of God's story, or you can watch somebody else take that role for you. And that scares me more than anything else in this world. I wonder if we have some people in the church today who want more than just to survive, who want more than just to stay in this boat, who want more than to just, you know, survive and stay cautious and say all these things. That doesn't mean be foolish. There's a difference in taking a step towards Jesus and taking a step away from him in foolishness. Trust me, I know all about that. But I believe God wants to move in those who are active. As we said before, faith asks and faith acts. The faith in our life is the ink in God's story. And so one more time, I'm going to propose the question. Are you willing to step out? Do you want your story to say at the end of your life or at the climax of this story, what everything hinges on, do you want God to be able to write down, even in the midst of the storm, they were faithful. Even in the midst of the diagnosis, they had faith. Even in the midst of their family falling apart, they were the glue that held it together. Even in the midst of the hardest point and lowest point of their life, they honored me. And because of that, I'm going to honor them. Because I promise you, God will come through if we take a step of faith. Amen. I hope I'm speaking to somebody today. What's great to remember, church, catch this. The entire storm fits on one page of the Bible. This entire situation fits on one page of the Bible. In our series, Bigger Than You, it's important to remember that God's story is bigger than your storm. It may look rough right now. It may be hard right now. But the faithfulness of your actions. The faithfulness of your step will produce the fruit that God has for you. Your story will come to fruition. And so I need somebody to get excited today because God has that for you. Maybe you feel like your entire life has been a storm. Maybe it feels like everywhere you turn, there's another cloud, there's another thunderbolt, there's another wave hitting you, and nothing seems to be going right ever. I tell you, life is more than just storms. There's a hand reaching out to you. You're not supposed to go through these alone. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who's for you. There's a God who wants you to prosper and succeed. And what's the purpose of life if it's just one big storm? You see, in this story, they're going through the storm to get somewhere. And that's what life is. We're going through this storm because we're going to heaven one day. And it's hard living life without a purpose. It's hard living life without a destination, without a helper, without love, without peace, without joy. I promise you, if you're looking for those things, they're not going to be found in a person. They're not going to be found in accomplishment or achievement. The only place you're going to find it is in Jesus Christ himself. And so if you're broken and you're hurting and you're done with what the world has been doing to you, I promise you, if you turn towards Jesus, he will welcome you with open arms, no matter how far gone you may think that you are. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus today. You see, a long time ago, Jesus sent his son to die for our sins after he created the world and everything in it. I hate to break your heart, guys, but there was no Big Bang and we did not come from monkeys. And when he did that, everything was good. And the reason there's pain and suffering in today's world is because the first man and woman sinned against God and ushered that in. And in order to restore and balance the world and give us an opportunity to be reunited with Christ one day in eternity, he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. And on top of that, his son was perfect. The only way to heaven is to be perfect or know somebody that is. And I ain't perfect. And nobody in this room is either, but we all know Jesus. So if you want to say yes to Jesus and you believe that he died and he overcame the grave 3 days later, proving that he is God, then all you have to do is say this simple prayer after me. We're going to say it together as a church. Dear Lord, I realize I need you. I believe that you sent your son to die for my sins and that he rose again 3 days later, proving that he is God. I invite you into my life. Please change me from within. I repent of my sins. I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Pastor.